Hi, welcome back. We are doing another Cage Club commentary. What are we calling it?
Cage Club Revisited, the Cagementaries.
Cage Club Revisited. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
With us, we have now and again host, creator, genius mind behind the podcast that you know and love, Chris Mattiello. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Making sure that, all right, we're going to get off to a good start. We're watching today The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, which is a documentary that came out 2 years ago, I think.
Is it two years already?
Maybe last year. Might have been last year. 2016. But it would have come out, the movie would have come out, like, what, 98-ish?
98,
right?
Yeah.
So when we did Cage Club the first time, we went and put it in 1998. But now here, we're doing it, you know, this is the second one we're recording. Well, we'll be honest with you. I mean, we've got nothing to hide, but Chris is here. First one, we have a guest, so let's just get going. So we are watching the Blu-ray that I think you can buy from the documentarian's site.
I think you can get it everywhere now, too.
You can probably get it everywhere now. So we're going to start playing in 3, 2, 1, play.
Right. Schnep Zone.
In Superman colors.
I don't recognize these production studios.
Comic-Con.
Any of you ever go to Comic-Con?
No.
I was there in New York 2011 and 2012.
Is it a nightmare? I feel like
it's kind of a nightmare. we were there with press passes doing stuff for the internet, and so we went like that Thursday and walked around where it was completely empty, and that was great. And then went back Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to do like shooting and stuff, and it is just miserable. I gotta tell you, it's exhausting.
Well, I figure it's probably like CES, where I got there for Consumer Electronics Show, and like before the show opens, you can walk the floor, and like people are like they're setting up their booths, but, like they have a chance to talk to you, and then all of a sudden the floor opens to the public, and it's like, oh, you can't walk, you can't. It's like wait online for everything.
It's like being miserable. In line. It's just like standing in line for half a day.
People make everything worse.
It's too bad because there is a lot of cool stuff to do and see there. I feel. I mean, mostly if you're into collecting. I actually picked up, believe it or not, like a couple comics I was looking for at an actual Comic-Con. So that's kind of funny.
How would you like to be known as Superman fan on a lower third?
I'd rather be known as Superman fan than dressed like, well, just like these guys aren't that bad, but the other ones in the really bad Superman costumes.
Full cosplay. You never go full cosplay.
Hey, you got a Goku in the background.
Here's a girl Superman fan.
Those don't exist.
Are you guys Superman fans?
No.
So I grew up watching, or reading, not, well, I guess watching, but reading Superman, because my dad's favorite superhero of all time is Superman.
Okay.
So I never really knew Batman until, I guess until Christopher Nolan, really. Like, I knew he existed, but, like, Superman was always the guy. And so what's interesting, and why I kind of love the idea of what this movie could have been, is that, I think I said this on the podcast when we did the podcast episode about this, is that I remember two stories, like two actual, whatever, prolonged series of comics. Number one was Crisis on Infinite Earths, where DC was like, oh, we've got 8 of everybody. We need to kill off 7 of everybody, so we're going to have them all, like, get into a battle. Like, people are going to die. Yeah. And then the other one is the Death and Return of Superman, which is this.
Yeah.
Which is Doomsday coming and killing Superman, and then 4 imitation Supermen coming back from wherever, you know, emerging, and then actual Superman sort of regenerating in his black suit in his purple mech under the water, and then coming back and, you know, getting rid of Doomsday.
Yeah, I'll never forget those 4 different Supermen. I definitely remember that arc. It was so big.
There's the kid.
Yeah.
There's
Superboy.
Superboy stays around, too. He has a very important role later on in DC, I know that.
There's Steel.
Who got his own movie, played by Shaq.
There's the cool alien guy with the laser vision.
Are you sure he wasn't played by Shaq and not Sinbad?
Oh, it might have been Sinbad. I don't know. The internet has gotten me misremembering.
It's a real Berenstain.
It wasn't that guy like the Eradicator or something? He was like a robot?
I think so. Yeah. And the 4th one was the mech guy, right? The half-robot?
Oh, that's who I'm thinking of.
Which is the one that had like the shades and the nuclear powers?
Yeah, he was the coolest
one. I think that was Vindicator or something. Oh,
there he is.
There's that classic.
We're going to know all about that picture as this goes on.
We're also going to know more about the guy making this documentary because he's sitting in almost every shot. Like, that seems like a mistake to me. I think we mentioned that, too, the first time around. Like, this guy, him, seems to be on screen too much.
Well, yeah, the documentary is not, like, about the movie as much as him uncovering the movie, kind of.
This guy looks like, if Steve Brule grew some facial
hair. He is, for your health, for sure. This is my favorite part of the movie, is, like, seeing all the unused concept art and stuff that could have been. You really get a sense of where
Did you see Yoderowski's Dune?
I was just
going to
say that.
Yes! Great, great documentary about a movie never made.
Because that's an entire movie of concept art, basically.
Yeah. And of concept art used throughout, like, cinema history, apparently. Like, people have been purging his book for style and stuff.
Like, The Purge?
Or just, like, looking at that giant book of Dune and using images of it from it throughout, like, science fiction.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like,
at the end, where they have, like, this became Star Wars, and this became this, and this became that. You know, and, like, it became things, but if it was all in one movie, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, right. That's the trick. What happens with this is sort of the same thing. A lot of the imagery gets reused for Man of Steel and, you know, Dawn of Justice. They actually do kill Superman. They find Warner Brothers have been dying to kill off Superman decades, and they finally rushed through it and got him dead in two movies.
And we're going to find out in a little bit, but didn't they want to cast Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor in this?
Yes.
And then he just became Lex Luthor in Superman Returns?
Yeah.
The role he was born to play.
John Peters is fascinating, and I feel like it really gives you some insight into why movies are occasionally inexplicably awful. Producers just have a lot of money and a lot of cocaine and think that their ideas are great, and then you get movies like Suicide Squad.
Yeah, they're super, like, arrogant and have, like you said, they just have so much money. They have the control. Like, they just don't care. They want to see what they want to see. They're like, I want this to be in it, so make it fit. It's like, well, there's nowhere for it to fit. Shoehorn it in somewhere, because it needs to be there, because I said so.
Wait, Chris, have you seen this documentary?
Yes.
Okay.
This is kind of interesting. They got, like, a Cage silhouette lookalike to walk around with long hair and the cape and do sort of a...
Well, yeah, so, like...
an opening thing here.
They have to Cage the long hair, and that's, like, that terrible picture that we just saw. But then there's also a Cage with short hair who looks like a genuinely amazing Superman. And that makes me so sad that it didn't happen.
I have an image in my head. I'll get to Kevin Smith, don't worry. I have an image in my head of Nick Cage as Clark Kent with short... That long hair is atrocious.
Yeah.
But, like, I really can see him as Clark Kent. Yeah. I really can't see him as Superman, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Superman's a lot like Batman, where if you got to nail Clark. Like, it's more important to get the secret identity, like Bruce Wayne, if you can play him right. And I feel like the suit takes care of the rest for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, just not entirely. Like, I do feel like Henry Cavill, the new Superman, like, he just doesn't have a Clark Kent at all. They don't make any distinction between him and Superman. So, for me, his Superman is boring and dull. But, like, Christopher Reeves, for instance, you know, like, he was putting on two distinct performances in that film. And I feel Cage he has the range to do, like, a really goofy Clark Kent, and then I feel like he could put on his serious action face, like his Con Air look, and do the Superman stuff too.
You also have Christopher Reeve doing three roles in Superman 3.
Oh, that's right, because he plays evil Superman.
Best Superman of all time.
Yeah, I love that Superman.
I actually really like Superman 3.
I do.
We all do.
We're fans. I grew up with the Superman movies. Like, I'm not a huge comic reader, but, like, one of the few VHS tapes we had growing up was Superman, because they were so damn expensive. And I just remember watching the hell out of that first movie as, like, a little kid. So I've always liked him and wanted him and his movies to do well, but they just, for the most part, aren't. Like, I'm not a big fan of Man of Steel. I'm not a big fan of Dawn of Justice, or... not a big fan of Superman Returns, so...
So did you see that the guy who produced Suicide Squad is going to be Trump's Secretary of, I think, Treasury?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he also produced Sully, or he was one of the producers on Sully, my brother was telling me.
I just feel like there's a million reasons, not to get political, just to disqualify people from getting positions, not necessarily in this administration specifically, but, like, I feel like that is something that should immediately disqualify you.
Oh, you were involved with Suicide Squad? All right, we're
good. Yeah, everybody involved in that movie should have their... licenses revoked.
The hearing should just be watching the extended cut of that movie. I'm like, what? You can't be trusted to make decisions, especially decisions with money.
So they're cutting back and forth between that guy and Kevin Smith, and apparently when Kevin Smith was writing his draft, that was the guy who said there needs to be a giant spider in the movie.
And he went on to make Wild Wild West.
He went on to do Wild West and get his big mechanical-looking spider thing. I don't know if that's... I don't know how much... I mean, that story's been told so much. I don't know how true it is. But what's funny about Man of Steel is that later in this movie, they show Superman fighting, like, some giant octopus creature. And in Man of Steel, he fights, like, a big steel octopus in the Indian Ocean thing. So, I don't know. It's just... you see these little germs that if they don't get into one project, they make sure they fit into another project.
I don't like Kevin Smith. Really? I mean, so here's the thing with Kevin Smith. My freshman year roommate in college loved Kevin Smith. And I did not love my freshman year roommate. And he would watch all those, like, two-hour films of Kevin Smith, like, talking to a bunch of college students.
An Evening with Kevin?
Yeah. And he would just watch those on loop. And, like, because of him, I saw all of his movies for the first time. And, you know, I like some more than I like others. But he's just... ugh. I like Tusk. I do not like Yoga Hosers. But I just... I feel like... I don't know. Is he... is he one of the biggest celebrities that, like, a lot of people are just, like, eh, at best to? I mean, he's got his fans, but, like...
he does definitely have his fans. I don't get it. Every time I've gone back and revisited a movie of his, it's very much that Donnie Darko thing, where it's like, oh, I get why I liked this at 14, but this is garbage.
It's weird. I'm kind of, like, a casual fan of his work. I listen to some of his podcasts, though. Like, it's weird. I'm more into
the Smodcast.
I don't really listen to Stas, but Hollywood Babylon that he does with Ralph Garman. I like his movies enough. I don't know. I think it's weird though. You get guys like him and Joss Whedon and stuff where there's just these devotees to his work. Like no matter what, they're gonna love what he does. And
yeah.
I'm not in that camp whatsoever. I do like his earlier stuff, like you know Clerks and Mallrats more. And I think it's because early on, somehow, he got a reputation for being, like, the comic book guy in Hollywood way before, like, all these movies were being made and stuff. So I don't know how he quite got that reputation, but somehow he weaseled his way onto the Superman Returns project and did a draft.
Well, like...
and then talked about it in college for, like, 10 years and made his fortune.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw the recording of one of those shows. I won tickets to see...
oh.
And I don't like Kevin Smith. At the time, I was more... ambivalent, but I went and I saw him. He did the whole Superman.
Basically, what he's doing here.
Exactly.
Right?
I've heard this story live before, among a bunch of other garbage. It was like we left after like 3 hours, and the line of people was still super deep. And like,
wait, how long will they go for?
He just goes until he's done. Like
4 or 5 hours. Oh, like he's just.
It's absurd. See? And I mean, I don't like him, like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the stuff he says is really stupid. I think he's an egotistical asshole.
To steal one of your phrases, I think he likes sniffing his own farts.
He really does. Well,
and he's a giant fanboy. Like, he did love Suicide Squad strictly because, oh, we get to see Deadshot and we get to see Killer Croc. And it's like,
well, yeah, that's like my dad. Like, he likes just seeing that universe and he watches the Comic Book Men or whatever that show is where it's just, boy.
He's also a massive hack. I remember him saying that all of the Star Wars prequels were amazing because he just wanted to be in, like, and, like, get free stuff and, like, see the movies early. And now he's totally backpedaled on that and be like, no, they're terrible because he's, like, his nerd cult just, like...
he's like
they'll eat up anything he says and he just wants to keep impressing them.
He's like the auteur hack, right? Like, it's not like he's making, like, Independence Day and Godzilla, like, a hack that works and does, like, big-budget features and stuff, but, like... he's the indie hack.
I just want to dunk him in a toilet. Like, what must it be like to be a grown man with a child that you named Harley Quinn?
Yep.
But to wake up every morning and be like, got to pick out my best jorts and hockey sweater. Like,
yeah.
you're 50, dude.
I can understand wanting to be recognizable, but that's a little strange. Like, dressing like that every single day.
Hey, shout out to Monkey Club. Pilot episode of Monkey Club.
Also, I bailed on his podcast when, I mean, I came into it, I never started from the beginning, but when I came into it, they were sponsored by Fleshlights.
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes was just them talking about, like, fucking fake sex toys, and I was like, nah, I'm good. Never again. Oh, speaking of Kevin Smith fucking,
ooh.
So you guys know about the greatest tweet in the history of Twitter, right?
I think I'm about to.
That Kevin Smith sent out on July 9th, 2009 at 2:43 p.m.
2009?
2009.
Okay.
10 years in, and we bone like we're cheating on each other with each other. A decade plus, and her clit brown taint area still pones my dick.
Oh.
That went public?
Yeah, that's a tweet he was proud of. No, it's still there.
Oh, here comes some of that big spider. Not that tweet. I mean, there's an actual spider.
So, you asked me before we started recording how much I would need to get paid to have all the lyrics All Star tattooed on my back. How much would you need to be paid? This is a two-part question. Number one, to retweet that tweet. Which I'm assuming is not going to be very much money, because you could probably do it ironically and get away with it. But number two, have that, like a screenshot of the tweet, like with the date, with his picture, with everything, tattooed on your back.
I'll retweet that right now.
Do it.
Because it's the greatest tweet to ever grace Twitter.
But what about getting tattooed on your back?
Just the picture with like his little avatar and the date.
Well, like, you know how like you embed a tweet on a page? Like that.
Retweet it on your back.
Backtweet.
Backtweet it.
Probably the same price as we talked about with the All-Star lyrics. Just enough to pay my loans.
So, well, like, Chris, I have an interesting business opportunity for you.
Let's do it. I'm in. I bet we can get John Peters to pay for some of it. Give him enough coke.
All the movies he produced. I want a list of those to see.
There's some good stuff in there if it was the stuff that they showed on the screen before, like American Werewolf in... I think it was American Werewolf in London. It might have been American Werewolf in Paris, case...
I have a feeling it's Paris, not London, but we'll see. I don't... I get that this guy, the guy doing the movie, is sort of trying to be like an investigative journalist, like he thinks he's Clark Kent, but I also feel like it's just bad documentary filmmaking to be in all these shots like this. Like, and then this guy's talking sideways instead of towards the camera. Like, at least Kevin Smith knows enough to, like, ignore the man next to him and actually talk to the cameraman.
So, right. John Peters has 51 producer credits. He's got three in the works, but the most recent one is Man of Steel.
Oh, no. So, there you go.
He did a Madonna video collection, Superman Returns, Ali, Wild Wild West.
Ali,
bunch of things I don't know. Batman Returns he did. Original Batman, Tango and Cash.
Okay.
Rain Man. Caddyshack 2, Youngblood.
Oh man, look at that.
Keanu Club. Movie. Brotherhood of Justice.
Oh my gosh, another Keanu Club.
Color Purple he did, Clue he did.
So that
Flashdance.
Oh, I love Clue.
American Werewolf in London, the first Caddyshack. And the first one was A Star Is Born.
Look at that, ripped right from the page.
Yeah, he was Barbara Streisand's hairstylist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what it was.
Oh, crazy. That sounded like the movie Shampoo, if you ever seen that, with Warren Beatty. I think it's Warren Beatty. Yeah, he's like a hairstylist who sort of gets like caught up in the high society crowd of Hollywood. And
seems as like one is wont to do.
The end of that movie seems like he's going to go on to make films or something.
Speaking of Warren Beatty, when they were doing the scroll in this movie before of all these weird failed...
Oh, yeah.
Comic
Tracy.
Movies. Dick Tracy. I remember seeing that in theaters as a kid. I kind of want to revisit it because I remember being really highly stylized and probably pretty interesting, but it's probably a bad
movie. I saw
it
a couple
of
years ago and I already forget everything about it.
Oh, okay. I wanted to get back to it too. I went back and watched like The Phantom, The Shadow, The Rocketeer, sort of like the OG Avengers, I guess, if they were to team up, and then I didn't get to Dick Tracy during that run, though.
I just remember like, not the bath, big boy, not the bath.
Oh, so they're talking about this scene, which I think would have been a stupid scene, but during Superman's funeral, Batman was going to come on the Jumbotron in Times Square and tell everybody, like, everything's going to be okay? I don't know if that would have played very well. I don't know about that moment.
Kevin Smith has done comics. He wrote an arc of Daredevil, which is... He just turned it into Spider-Man, basically.
Okay.
And also, because he kills off Karen Page, like, very Gwen Stacy-esque.
Yeah.
And then he did a run on Batman that is absolutely atrocious.
And he's done Green Hornet, Green Arrow. He even does Jay and Silent Bob comics at one point, I think.
Ugh. What is the worst Kevin Smith? Well, I mean, I know it's
Jersey Yoko's Girl, worst, I think.
But, like, in that run
Yoko's is worse than Jersey Girl.
In that run he did, like, let's say before Red State. Like, because that's when Kevin Smith kind
is
of
Red
shifted.
State good?
No.
I like it. I don't know. I like it. Maybe because it's so against his style. Like, it really doesn't feel like Kevin.
I just wish the ending didn't cop out on itself.
I didn't see it. No spoilers for a movie I'm probably never going to see.
Is his worst movie Jane Silent Bob Strike Back?
Probably.
No, I like that movie. I think that's fun. I think that I
you might be disqualified from this conversation.
No,
Mike.
I'm not. I mean, maybe after what I'm about to say next, but I'm not a fan of Chasing Amy.
So
either.
Before Red State, he did Cop Out, which is not like a
probably,
Kevin Smith movie,
but he didn't write it. So it's
He also did Zack and Miri Make a Porno, which I never saw.
God.
Before that, Clerks 2 is not good.
I hate Clerks 2.
No, I don't
2.
Like
Jersey Girl is before that.
Clerks 2 is the last movie I got
Shane
carded
Bob.
To see.
Dogma. I remember liking Dogma, but I'm afraid to watch
like
Dogma
it.
Again.
I feel the same way about a dogma that I do with Chasing Amy, where it's just like, I liked that as a kid, but I'm sure it was because I was an idiot.
Affleck and Damon are good together. It makes you want to see them in more movies together.
Yeah, so his first movies in order were Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma. Well, that's pretty solid first four, I think.
I don't like Mallrats very much. Even I like Mallrats when very I much liked either. Kevin Smith, I didn't like Mallrats.
Man, we're way off the mark.
I've only seen it once, keep in mind, I only saw it once, and it was because my roommate that I didn't like showed it to me, true. And I was just like, I don't want to
yeah,
like this.
Yeah, it's never a great way to watch a movie.
I like mall movies, I guess. I don't know.
Where are they? Do you think that's Kevin Smith's house?
Yeah, that's totally his office.
Or do you think they're not like the comic book shop in Red Bank? Are they? Or are they?
I don't think
so. I've been in there at least once or twice. And
he had one in L.A. too at some point, so I don't know.
Oh, there's like alcohol and stuff on the desk. Yeah, it doesn't
look like personal things of his.
And it's definitely his place because there's like pictures of him on the wall, like yeah. in like fan art and stuff.
How is Brainiac going to work into the script?
I don't remember.
He's basically a guy who comes from space. I'm not sure if he was tied into Krypton like he is sometimes, like in the cartoon, but he basically comes to Earth because he detects there's a surviving Kryptonian, and he wants to, like, I think the thing is he's going to collect Superman or destroy him. And then he meets up with Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor's like, I can give you access to all the technology you need. And at some point, Luthor and Brainiac were going to merge into one being, and they were going to have Spacey play one of them, and then I think wasn't it Christopher Walken was in talks to play Brainiac. And so like you'd have Christopher Walken and Kevin Spacey doing like a two-headed man routine at the end in the third act of the film, and then Superman basically flies up to Brainiac's big ship, and it's like a giant zoo from the it's like a galactic zoo. I think
I do want to point out real quick, I'm sorry, I can't deal with John Peters' chest hair poking out on top
no,
of his shirt.
Can't either.
I notice that every time it's on, he's covering it up now, thankfully, but oh.
Here's just the encapsulation of Kevin Smith's, like, smug comic book douchery. It's like, he's so proud of the fact that he named the spider the Targaryen Snare Beast or whatever.
Oh,
it's like,
right.
Yo, it's an obscure Hawkman reference. Look how great I am. Look how much I love comics. Like, fuck you, man. I'm stunned they got Tim Burton for this movie.
It's shocking. But I bet he was like, hey, if you want to fly to London and come over here, sure. But I'm not moving.
I saw him in real life. He was at Fantastic Fest last year.
Oh, cool.
Speaking of directors that just fell apart.
He was there promoting Miss Peregrine, which was fine.
I never saw it. I mean, Ed Wood, to me, is just like an amazing movie.
It's one of my favorite movies
ever. 10 or 12 favorite movies
of
all time.
Great, I know. And it's hard for me still, even now. I understand. I've come to terms with it, but it just doesn't feel like he's responsible for directing that movie entirely. It's just so above quality of everything else.
I may or may not have been looking at Chris List yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Scouting out. I'm like, really? Okay. All right, Ed Wood. Like, it's in the 10 to 12 range, I think.
Yeah,
I need to
really
watch
good.
It again.
It would have been awesome, though, to have the same director do a Batman movie, then a Superman movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like this.
And then do the crossover.
Symmetry. Yeah, and then, right, Batman versus Superman. Or hopefully at that point, it wouldn't have been any reason to fight.
Well, isn't
just
the
Batman and Superman.
Isn't the ultimate sort of upside to this movie not happening that Batman and Robin was a turd, and then, or was this after Batman and Robin?
I think this was all after that. That had just,
I think it was just after Batman Forever.
Which was between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So then it was basically between this failure and Batman and Robin being awful that we got Christopher Nolan's Batman.
For the most part, yeah. Warner Brothers had sort
but
of
but they didn't
said,
want to continue we, it at least.
No, not after the second Schumacher movie. I think they realized that it wasn't going to keep working.
There was a script kicked around for a long time about a fifth one in that series that would have had... Huh. I think it would definitely would have had Scarecrow.
Oh, is that when they're like talking about Howard Stern as Scarecrow?
Or... I don't know about
oh,
that.
God, really?
Yeah, that would have been miserable. Oh, Zardoz head.
But then there was going to be a second... nice. There was going to be a second villain, but and it kept kicking around between like Harley Quinn or maybe Clayface. And then it just all kind of got rolled into Batman Begins.
Yeah. Even now, I feel Clayface would be tough with CGI, even, you know.
Clayface is awesome in the Batman video games.
He's great in the cartoons,
isn't
too.
He in the
Some
video
of the
games?
Best episodes.
Yeah.
Like, aren't those like Nightmare? Isn't a Clayface and Scarecrow together?
Clayface is like
or no.
the giant twist of one of those games.
Whoops, spoiler.
He's sort
sorry.
Of like the Venom of the DC, or I guess Venom is the Clayface of the Marvel Universe, so to speak. Or I guess Sandman is the Clayface. Never mind.
So, I mean, we can talk about spoilers for like a nearly decade-old game at
yeah,
this
yeah,
point,
yeah.
probably. I love that it's probably not a decade
You're
old.
Talking about Asylum or City?
City, I think it is. City's the one where it's the fake Joker. Clayface is playing the Joker.
Oh, right, yeah.
But
well, that's a cool twist.
If you go into that with the detective mode on, that Joker doesn't have any bones.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
But if you do that the first time, you probably won't even like realize
it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Look at all these creatures that we never got to see. I think that one in front screamed when Superman was born in Man of Steel. That's sort of cut to the outside of
Moebius.
Yeah, they're basically like, okay, who worked on Dune? Let's just get all the, like, how many of them? Okay, let's get them.
I rewatched Batman Returns recently. Learned a couple of things. One, more of a Christmas movie than, like, Die Hard. Like,
yeah.
It is a very Christmassy movie and should be in the canon.
Yep.
Two, really, really good. Possibly the best Batman movie. Like, I used to think 89 was the best one, but it might be Returns.
Oh, of the first four, it's definitely the best.
Really? I don't know. I don't know. I can't get past the 89, the first Tim Burton one. I like that one the most. I think it's the best looking one, though. Like, it's style-wise, I love the visuals of that one the most. It's just the cleanest.
Returns is the first one to introduce that problem of the Rogues Gallery is always more interesting than Batman, and it kind of becomes a Batman without Batman for a long time, which is my big issue with The Dark Knight as well. But I also rewatched that recently, and The Dark Knight is really still pretty good. I figured it couldn't have been as good as I remembered, but it's pretty good.
It's great that... Yeah.
Right. I feel like a game you can play is just trying to guess what nerd reference is on this guy's shirts in every different interview. This guy's definitely got like a Loot Crate subscription or three.
You know what's kind of interesting? Advice. Maybe just because I've seen way less, but like even poorly made documentaries are kind of inherently more interesting than like poorly made regular movies, because at least you're learning something, as opposed to like if you just like watch a bad movie, like, ooh, it's rough. Yeah. But like here, at least you're like seeing like... Like, I don't think this is a great documentary, but at least there's cool concept art, and you can, like, sort of, you know, look around and just, you know, look in the background and be like, oh, look, they have cool things on the walls, even if you're not, like, even if you're bored with, like, what's going on.
Yeah, there's always something fascinating seeing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm very into what goes into the making of a movie and that collaborative process, and seeing this pre-production stuff is super interesting and a part of the world, even on behind-the-scenes featurettes, that you don't really get a lot of.
Well, that's what's really cool about those Leica movies, like the Box Trolls and stuff, and Kubo, where in the credits, they show them, like, actually building, like, just like, basically in the movie, they show them building the clay, or, like, whatever it is, whatever they use, like, sped up a little bit, sort of like a B-movie without B-movie, or whatever we were watching, but it's an idea of how they build it and sort of how they animate it a little bit, and you see it like come to life, and you don't have to go out of your way to watch it. It's just right there for you.
Do you guys think we're going to see Superman in this glowing suit in the next movie? Like he's dead, so like he's got to come back to life. Do you think they're going to use any of that concept?
This is too cheerful for...
Yeah, you're probably right. He's going to come back like wearing something extremely dark and nothing flashy at all. If anything, maybe he won't even wear a Superman suit.
I mean, that movie's going to suck, right? There's no doubt that the Justice League is going to be terrible.
Well,
no. It won't be good.
I want it to be good.
I wish it...
I don't want any movie to be bad. But, like,
I just have a feeling, like, Superman's going to come back and he's going to be bad. And
well, when's that out? That's not, like, November? Good.
Yeah.
Because Wonder Woman's June. Wonder Woman's already out by the time this is released. We're recording this in January.
I mean, I just feel like they dug themselves into a hole already with Superman. Like, Man of Steel retread everything so quickly.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing to really settle in and focus on anymore. Like, there's no Clark Kent. He's just Superman. I mean...
Would you want more of him like getting into bathtubs with Lois Lane?
I feel so bad for Amy Adams.
Well, I mean, she's also Nocturnal Animals, which is garbage. So she brings it to herself.
She turned down that Will Smith movie, Collateral Beauty.
Good. Well, at least she's got some sense.
I mean, she's in Arrival, which is amazing.
Yeah. Love to see that.
Arrival is really good.
Comes out on Blu-ray on Valentine's Day. You and Melissa have a date night.
I actually want to... I mean, I need like a whole day to do this, but I want to double feature it with Contact.
Oh yeah, that would be good.
We were just talking about Contact in the last thing we recorded.
I think so. Yeah, because the Spirit in the Sky.
Yep. said I don't want to hear Spirit in the Sky in anything ever again, or
Were
Fortunate
you
Son.
Talking about Suicide Squad? Because I believe both of those are in
there. Oh, probably. No, I was thinking Operation Avalanche, which I watched this week, has it. And then I think, what did I just watch? Something else I just saw, I think, in theaters. I don't know.
There's Batman and himself, Affleck.
It was in, like, two movies this week that I saw, Spirit in the Sky. I was just like, I can't. Because it's just, it's in everything. Good old Norman Greenbaum.
Like, that big stupid S on a hockey jersey just didn't look good. Why would you even wear that?
Because he's Kevin Smith, man.
I know, but even Kevin Smith has to know, like, when to say when.
I just love this idea that that Hollywood will pay a screenwriter a large sum of money, like more than I make in a year, to write a script that just will never get made.
Yep.
Like, we're just going to make, like, five scripts, and then we'll have someone smash them all together.
Yep.
Like, do you know how many scripts there were for Jason vs. Freddy before that movie finally got made? There was, like, 9 of them. It was absurd. Like, there's just some movies that deserve to stay in development hell.
Or just not be made. Like, I understand how bad you want something, but that doesn't mean it needs to exist, or that other people want it to.
It's the Jurassic Park thing. It's like, you want, like, what is the line? You never stop to think.
Right.
If you should. You were so concerned if you could, you never stop to think if you should. Yep. I feel like that is a real, like, ethos that Hollywood needs to kind of adhere itself to.
I mean, Doomsday, Jesus, I mean.
Now, Doomsday's awesome.
He's amazing, and then to just throw him in with 5 minutes of your movie left, like they did in Dawn of Justice, it's just like, what are you guys, what's the rush? Like, cool it. Slow down. We've got years and years to make billions of dollars of money. Let's just take it one movie at a time. It's like, no, this needs Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and The Flash and the Aquaman. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, it's like they put out Iron Man and then the second movie was Avengers and also Thanos was in that.
Yeah.
In the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool if Zack Snyder lost his directing license.
Oh, yeah, I'd be so fine with that. I mean, a guy started out and I had high hopes with, you know, I mean, even though it was a remake, I liked the action and the style of Dawn of the Dead.
Same.
I'm a fan of Watchmen.
300?
300, yeah, that was new at the time. I liked that. I was like, okay, this is good, but I don't need every movie to start doing this.
So I'm going to admit something that I don't think can still be true, and Chris, I think, knows what I'm going to say.
I hate it already.
I think I like Sucker Punch.
Oh, I think you told me
but
that.
You're wrong.
That can't be
right. No. You might like certain moments. Like, I like images. Like, there's one or two cool fight scenes in that, but.
Well, it's a lot of, like,
not a
badass girls beating up guys, but also, you know, in reality,
and
they're getting raped and whatever. It's all, you know, terrible misogynistic bullshit, but.
That's the thing, is, like, I can't handle the premise of that movie.
That they're escaping the reality by being these, like, superheroes or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think Zack Snyder is trying to write a satire of, like, nerd culture there. It just, it fails in every way.
He ends up becoming almost like this symbol of geek culture after that movie, you know, and just showing, like, it's all style with no substance, and that kind of feels like most of the culture is like, we just want the cool shit to put on our walls, but I don't really know the meaning behind it.
Like, nothing about the way that they shoot these interviews is visually interesting.
This seems especially dark. The Tim Burton stuff and the audio seems to be off, too.
Well, yeah, like we were saying before, like, I can't believe they got him. Like, yeah, he's like, I'm going to do this interview in this room. There's no additional lighting. We're going to use natural lighting. And you've got 2.5 hours. Let's go.
And I really want this puppet to be in the shot.
And I'm going to wear sunglasses.
I like how they have the fat guy sit next to a skeleton.
But what's interesting is there's a couch there, but he's on a desk chair. He's on a computer chair.
Do you think this movie has a role for my wife? Tim, this is a documentary. I know, but you just get her in there somewhere, right?
I'd still like to see Tim Burton come back and maybe try and tackle another superhero property. I mean, it may be a cosmic thing from Marvel or something, you know, some space. Howard the Duck. Give him Howard the Duck.
I do love that they kind of acknowledge the fact that even back before the internet, there were people getting real angry about choices in regards to comic book movies.
That was strange. That
Well, what was it? Oh, it was the the Stan Lee documentary, which we'll get to. They're talking about how, like, Marvel was just, like, bomb after bomb after bomb. They're like, now they're going to make an X-Men movie? Like, this is going to be terrible. And, like, even, you know, before the internet, or, like, you know, the beginning of the internet or whatever, you know, there was, people were always still, like, hot takes.
Well, you had stuff like Entertainment Weekly magazine and Entertainment Tonight, and I feel like around the time of Batman was such a media put, like, it's such a marketing push for Batman. Like, it was, like, just everywhere. The attention was all over it, and I feel like they were just trying to fill up time talking about it, and they really latched on to the fact that Michael Keaton, they're like, he's not an action star. You get, like, you know, like a Sylvester Stallone has to be Batman. It was really, like, a shift in, like, the public conscious after that. It was like, okay, it doesn't have to look like the guy.
Right.
It can come down to acting.
I think Tim Burton got kind of what you were saying before, where Bruce Wayne is almost the more important character.
Yeah.
And you can't have a muscle man playing that role, really.
I mean, you can't even have Arnold playing Mr. Freeze, for Christ's sake. Like, he can't even do that right, you know? I mean, yeah, that Schumacher telling him to camp it up, but still, Mr. Freeze is a very sort of tortured soul character. You don't get Arnold there playing him like a joke.
Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Arnold.
But now we got Michael Keaton as Ray Kroc.
And the Vulture. Which is kind of funny. It's like, not only has he switched from DC to Marvel, but he's gone from hero to villain.
Wait, what's he in?
He's going to be Vulture in the new Spider-Man movie, which will be
out
by the
time. Oh, I don't even know who Vulture is.
Oh, he's a...
He looks like a Ben Kingsley or Abe Vigoda, and he's got a dumb flying
There's
suit.
There's our guy.
There's Cage.
Hey, found him. Superman Returns, underrated, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Kate Bosworth?
I'm not down with it.
Wait, who was that Superman?
It's just
Brandon Routh.
Put me to sleep.
And of course, spoiler alert, of course the kid is Superman's kid.
I mean, it's iconic and stuff. I feel like it's like a soft reboot before that was even a thing, like rebooting kind of. Like, it's a sequel, but it's not. It's starting over, but it's not.
But, like, that worked because, like, Superman 4 was, like, 20 years earlier. Then all of a sudden, we're 8 years or 7 years later. And it's like, all right, we're going to reboot again.
I think it would have worked if it was, if it knew what it wanted to be. Like, it was literally Superman, and it felt like moping around for an hour and a half, and then he threw an island into space. But that's okay. It relied too much on having been familiar with Superman already. At least with Man of Steel, the one thing I will give it is that it started from the ground up all over again. So you didn't need any to see anything before seeing that.
Doesn't even make sense.
And that's how bad, like, that guy is giving orders to directors and screenwriters, and it's just, how do you even parse that bullshit?
Birdie, like, this is really like a Cage Club greatest hits right now that we're watching. Like, I can't wait to rewatch all these.
Oh, here comes his Oscar speech, part of it. Wow, he had so much ahead of him then.
I mean, after he won, this next four movies, or next, well, I guess, you know, not four movies, next three movies are going to come out, being like The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off. I'm just going to do City of Angels, which, all right.
For what that is, it's not a failure, I feel.
No, but I mean, it's better before, great. Like, because leaving Las Vegas and...
It's funny, Julianne Moore, Sandy Bullock would have been a good Lois, but it's funny Julianne Moore was considered because now, like, her clone Amy Adams is they have that same sort of ginger look to them. I remember hearing about Chris Rock playing Jimmy Olsen way back. Right, Marlon Wayans as Robin. I remember
if
hearing
black.
All of that. I did not remember seeing that though. That is the most offensive casting list.
I do really like Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White.
I do too.
Yeah,
but I also Lawrence like him as everything.
Can't wait for him to show up in John Wick 2 to get a little Morpheus Neo reunion happening.
Larry Fishburne from
the worst
Dream
comic
Warriors?
Performance in history,
yeah,
in my
Dream
opinion.
Warriors.
Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Enigma? Edward Enigma?
Hate it. Hate it so much.
Wait, do you think the best Batman... Coincidentally, we were watching something
that.
Else. Yep. Do you think the best from the original four... My favorite villain, and I don't even, I guess, I just like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman. Is she the best one?
It's the Penguin.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, even though I don't like that they actually made him a physical mutant freak, I'd have to say, like, that is probably the best use of one of the villains.
Did Danny DeVito lose weight? Are you watching the new Sunny season?
I think he
Sunny
just got older.
I'm not. I think he's just older.
No, because he looks slimmed down.
I don't know. It's always hard to tell because he's so short.
It's true.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey is the perfect Lex Luthor. I will give Superman Returns that. They nailed Lex Luthor.
You don't think Jesse Eisenberg's a better one?
No.
I'm real mopey.
No. Sorry.
No, I don't. I agree. I wasn't trying to. I was trying
no,
to say
I know
there.
You weren't. I know. It's just so strange. Like, the new one is just like, what if we took... What's so iconic about Lex Luthor? Okay, well, like, he's an old guy with bald hair. Let's make him young with really long hair. It's like, that's the extent of
But didn't
their,
he shave his head?
Like, only because he went to jail, and which they don't do in jail, really. They don't just shave your head because you go to prison.
Here's that two-headed beast you were talking about before, Mike.
Which might have been a bit too far.
Especially with, like, CGI capabilities in, like, 98.
Oh, it would not have been... Yeah, I mean, if you even look at... If you look at, like, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the Sam Rockwell character is supposed to have two heads in a book, like, literally two heads on his shoulder in the actual novel, and then the way they get around it in the movie is, like, he's got a head tucked in, like, between his chin and his neck.
No.
So, yeah, they... I do not have a lot of faith in two-headed characters.
Well, a couple of years ago on American Horror Story, on Freak Show, Sarah Paulson played that two-headed woman.
Oh.
And that was good. That worked out. I mean, that season was terrible, but...
You have the pod race announcer in episode one. There's a shitty two-headed character.
Is that Greg Proops?
One of them is Greg Proops.
There's a really good podcast episode. I was there, too, about Greg Proops talking about that movie.
I hope Superman comes back looking like metal like that in the next movie. Like, he comes back and they're like, is that Superman? And then the Flash is like, I think it's a statue of him.
I think it's got to be that black suit, though.
Yeah, most likely, because they even...
To go along with the color palette, also, of the
They
whole...
even teased it with the silver S on his coffin and everything. But this is all the stuff we didn't get, is, like, the alien ship and... I mean, we do get Zod's stupid alien ship, but we don't ever really spend time in it.
Like, that's just super weird looking.
Yeah, the weird logo. There's so much here that I think would have really failed. But, I mean, when you have lighting and you have direction, obviously things can look different.
Right.
They can disguise how terrible that actually looks.
Because this is all concept art. Like, this isn't, like, what it'll necessarily look like.
And I think once we get to see it on him, the suit actually looks pretty badass. It's
yes.
When you take a picture of him wearing the suit.
And he's blinking and looking away.
How much would you pay for that giant silicone Nicolas Cage? Just have it completely gray, no painting, just have it stand. If money wasn't an option.
Oh,
like,
I mean,
what do you think? Well, I mean, obviously, then you could say it any amount, but like...
You mean like this?
There he is.
Yeah, but they had like a mold, a full mold of just Nicolas Cage that they used to build that they showed before. So just be an all-gray Nicolas Cage looking lifeless and dead just in the corner of your room.
I feel like you would probably see that at, like, a high-end Spencer's Gifts in, like, Las Vegas for probably, like, $30,000.
Hmm.
There is. This chair is super short there. I think we see about three fittings, right? We see the one we just saw with the silver suit.
You mean
then...
this mold?
How do they defend that trash, like... blue garbage bag suit picture where he looks stoned as hell. They talk about how, like, this is not what it would have looked like. This was just, like, fitting or something like that. Like, they really go hard to defend.
Well, because he didn't know that a picture was getting taken.
I think rightfully, too. Like, if you had taken, like, a real production photo in that suit with the proper lighting instead of someone just flashing...
And his hair actually done.
Yeah, instead of someone just taking a quick reference shot because they needed to say on this day this was done... that picture gets exploited too by Bryan Singer, where he's like, "Would you rather make this?"
Right.
And it's like, "That's not you can't. That's not fair." I don't know. I feel like that picture gets a super bad rap.
Well, there's a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Godzilla as best friends. In front of a dragon?
That's a great shirt, but...
You know what I think is an underrated Tim Burton movie? Sleepy Hollow.
I never saw it.
It's pretty good.
Sleepy Hollow's pretty good, actually.
I actually think Big Fish is actually pretty good,
I haven't seen that.
It's much less... You know, it's not in his, like, super stylized, wacky sort of phase. I feel like he's much more restrained. I mean, there's still very odd stuff going on in that movie, but he feels more restrained.
And even though it's, like, Tim Burton-y as hell, I can't get into Mars Attacks for some reason. Mm. Not a big fan of it.
I liked it at the time, but looking back, it's definitely just, like, a cartoon. It would have just, you know, like, it feels like an early sort of CGI movie, even.
Mm. Yeah, it's based on, like, so a trading card series. Like, it's very Tim Burton-y, but there's something about the aesthetic, and I think just that cast of just all of these celebrities showing up for 10 minutes, that
yeah.
It just takes me out of the movie every time I'm trying to watch it.
Yeah, that's one of those instances where stunt casting doesn't work, and I feel like Jack Nicholson should only have played one character instead of two.
See that thing, that Nick Cage just standing.
With his, like, there are so many
next to your bed.
There's so many suits that they're showing.
And they were all only gonna be in like one or two scenes, you know, like he was gonna wear the regenerating suit for one scene and then he'd be in the black, like this thing, the bubble suit they call it. Like, it was only gonna be on screen for like a couple of quick minutes. He wasn't gonna fly around in that.
Oops. Superman by way of Lady Gaga show.
Laser lights. It's like,
that's so weird looking. Not necessarily in a bad way, just like in a, you have no idea what it's gonna be, just in a back room of a dressing cabinet somewhere.
The Superman in general, though, doesn't really seem right off the bat something that would be in Tim Burton's wheelhouse. Like, it doesn't naturally have like that dark edge that
right.
Batman does. Like, he doesn't live in a nightmare city like Gotham that's super gothic. Like, he doesn't fight villains with guns. Like, they're all these weird mutant creatures that are very colorful looking, like Parasite and
that's
things
why
like
it's
that.
So like difficult to make him like a character that people relate to. I think.
The most I've ever cared about Superman was Carradine's monologue at the end of Kill Bill.
Yeah.
I just can't get into a character that is literally a god and, like, can't be hurt. And the movies have to just invent ways for him to feel like he's in danger so that there are stakes. And there's never been a movie that really did that well. I mean, certainly Batman vs. Superman didn't.
No, I think, you know, just the first one, the Richard Donner one, did it best. And it doesn't even have, there's not a lot of conflict between Clark and Superman. It just did a good job of showing Clark Kent at the Daily Planet and then Superman flying around doing heroic deeds. It's not an extremely deep film trying to say anything profound. It's just trying to be a fun action movie. And I think the problem now is they're trying to use Superman to say something about society or like the human condition. And that's when it becomes too much of a stretch for me. Just let him be fun.
I don't hate that plot point of, like, we are now living in a universe where there are literal gods coming around and smashing things up. I love the idea of them exploring that and kind of asking us humans, what do we do? It's just not done well because it's a Zack Snyder movie and has the subtlety of a brick to the head.
Exactly. Yes. Subtlety is not his strong suit.
He looks like BB-8. Wait, who's that supposed to be? Brainiac?
No, this... So, like...
Oh, it's K?
It was, like, his ship that turned into his suit at one point. There's a version of it in the Man of Steel. There's, like, one of these little things flies out and protects his ship when he finds his ship in the ice. Something like this kind of flies out.
It was really cute.
There's, like, a germ of it left in.
Not as cute anymore.
But I guess it would have been in place of, like, his holographic father talking to him about Krypton and stuff and teaching him about being Superman. He was going to have this creature do it for him. I guess this is life. What's it like? A life-sustaining device for when he's, like, regenerating. That's out of control, though. That is, like, a full-on, like, Transformer-looking guy. Like, there's nothing Superman about that.
This is, would have been such a busy movie.
Yeah. In bad ways, bad ways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think now it would be looked back upon as a beautiful mess. And at the time, it probably would have been praised for its special effects. But I don't think anyone would have left the movie saying it was, like, a quote-unquote good movie. Like, people would probably like it, but I think for the most part, it would have gotten bad reviews.
Well, Kevin Smith would love it.
Guy's a fanboy. He loves everything with an S on it. Like, what is
It's not an S. It's a crest.
But what is that? Like, okay, he's not even wearing a cape. He's wearing, like, angel wings. And it's almost like he's a robot underneath it.
I really wonder how many... Because we're seeing so many different things. Like, these can't all be in the same version of the script, right? These are all, like, wildly different.
I think we're seeing one or two versions of multiple suits that were planned for the movie. Like, there's definitely... We're planning to do a black suit, but, you know, they probably had several drawings of the black suit. They're probably meaning to do that metal suit, but then they had, you know, the crazy one that looks like Optimus Prime, and then they had one a little more scaled back that seemed a little more Terminator.
Great job picking the absolute worst one of all of those. That's impressive.
Yeah, how hard is it to get the S crest right?
Am I wrong that Nick Cage's kid is named something Superman-y?
Kal-El. He's got two kids. Right?
Yeah, he's one's way older.
Oh, yeah. He was in a couple of those movies. He was in
Lord of War,
right? And he was in something else.
Obviously, he should
introduce her
to Kevin Smith's daughter, Harley Quinn, and they can...
Well, no, Kal-El's a boy.
Right, now, yeah.
Yeah, he can marry Harley Quinn, though.
Oh.
Harley Quinn Smith.
Well, what about Lily Rose Depp?
She's not named after a comic book, though. See, there you got two versions of the blue suit. I think the issue with me is I wouldn't have accepted a Superman wearing technology. Like, I just don't see him putting, you know, that's Batman or whatever. Like, I just don't see the need for him to put on a device that collects the rays of the sun that powers his body. Like, get out of here with all that. He needs to be much more organic.
I know someone whose favorite Superman is Dean Cain, and, like, I've never met, like, there aren't too many pop culture opinions that are less defensible than that.
Mine's Tom Welling.
Okay, you found one. I actually forgot that show existed.
It was on for, like, 10 years.
It really was on for a long time.
With Michael Rosenbaum as decent Lex Luthor. I watched the first couple seasons, I was like, I'm good, and then my dad watched all of it.
And wasn't that Lana was on for a while?
Oh, Christian Kreuk.
Yeah, when she left, that was done.
I like the girl who played Chloe. I don't remember what her name is. Because didn't they move from Smallville to Metropolis?
Oh, did they?
I think they the last two or eventually. 3 years or something, yeah.
Yeah, I remember eventually at some point didn't, like, Hawkman show up and all kinds of crazy Aquaman showed up and
now it's interesting.
Flash.
Now, that's not the same DC universe that they have existing now on CW, right?
No, no, they rebooted the whole TV thing with Arrow. See, that looks good right now. I mean, he's got no cape or boots on or...
It's a little weird looking. It's a little
it's
90s
shiny.
Looking, but...
It's shiny. It looks like a car.
I mean, that's not his main suit, or is that his main suit?
That was going to be the main suit right there.
A certain power.
He needs a little more hair in the front. That's a great pose.
Is that him flying? I don't know what that's
supposed
to be.
No, I don't know. I think he's just posing, like when you pose to get your muscles, show your stomach muscles definition. Could you imagine a conversation between... No wonder this movie never got made. You got Tim Burton talking to Nick Cage. Like, just trying to explain themselves.
Sparkle dust. I wrote down sparkle dust. I couldn't remember what sparkle dust was when I was looking through my notes, but there we go.
I can't believe it even got that far. Like, we're seeing Nick Cage in...
Well, they were 2 weeks away from starting shooting, and they pulled the funding.
I know, but
crazy.
I think it's crazy that we get to see this. Like, I know the footage is there and it exists, but the people on our side of the screen are watching it.
Oh, there's the other documentary about making a movie. It's Lost Soul, The Doom Journey of...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That movie got made. Bro.
Yeah, I know, but not the way it was supposed to be made. No way. The director got fired and showed up as an extra, like, in a mask.
See, here he's got the cape on. He's looking good. He's got the boots. He's got the red S, which
isn't great.
It's still
a weird-looking Superman, but it's still not bad.
Well, the red S is just... It's not molded into the suit. It's just, like, taped on him so they can get an idea of it, which looks like... trash, but like this definitely
looks
better than
cape.
That Polaroid.
It looks more like an actual knight. He looks more like, you know, like his suit looks like armor more than it did, and I don't know if I was gonna like that. I kind of do. Still, the neckline, there's something super weird going on with the neckline color.
Ooh.
Was he supposed to bulk up to that point where like that's gonna be cut out?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Or just paint all that blue too.
Either way, it's kind of weird. What?
Why did they add that? That cartoon of Tim Burton doing his hair. Of all of the add-ons.
Guys, we've got this great hair overlay we've got to use in some scene.
Superman can have long hair.
Yeah.
But Superman cannot have a skullet.
No.
Like, that is some hideous hair that we are seeing right now.
Well, I think they didn't do his hair. He's just, you know, that's not...
Yeah, that's just to give an idea there.
Also, has Cage ever had hair like that in, I mean, Con Air?
Close. I even don't know if that is real. That looked kind of like they put a wig on him just to see, like, we want him to have long hair.
So have you seen... You talked about Crisis on Infinite Earths. They did another kind of... reboot like that.
The New 52?
Do you know how that started? Like, what the catalyst to that was?
I think I knew at one point.
Oh, wasn't it Flashpoint?
Well, I mean, just the, like, the...
Is this a trivia question or are you asking genuinely?
No, there's a frame that I've seen. Superboy punches a hole in reality.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of here with that.
No, yeah, that was something about the New 52 because they did Crisis on Infinite Earths years and years and years ago. Then they did, like, Final Crisis and the New Crisis on Infinite Earths where... it had to reformat the entire DC universe again, and there was something like the Superboy from Earth 1, which is like our world, or Superboy gets sent to our world and ends up like punching a hole in reality.
Yeah,
and
it's real stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb. But there was some kind of cool stuff with like the monitor. There was the monitor and the anti-monitor, and then there were several more monitors out there, and that's when it lost me. I was like, there can't be more than two monitors. But he was the guy who sort of had the giant interdimensional tuning fork that, like, merged all the existing Earths together into one.
So that all the comic book nerds would have issue number ones to buy.
Comics are dumb.
But it was also, yeah, it was like, why is Batman and Catwoman married with a kid in this comic, and then in this one they're enemies? It was really strange how crazy the diversions were.
This guy wants Superman to have
a weapon. We know we're
doing a
fairy tale. They don't want to call it a fairy tale, though. Like, it's not like a...
The guy was eventually a producer on Man of Steel, too. So, did Superman ever pick up a gun in that one? Maybe. I can't remember.
Like, why is that shot composed that way? I guess because this for an entire scene would be boring. But, like, him... Like, the documentarian nodding at Tim Burton is just... What is that doing for us?
Exactly. This is... That's why we just need... Tim Burton in front of a black backdrop.
Properly lit.
Talking to the camera, or some guy right off side to the camera.
Oh, I just realized what a shirt is for the first time, and I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
Izod's shirt. So here's where they took that's where they took the picture. And, you know, Polaroid is supposed to emulate film the look of film. That's why they use it so much. Also because it's instant, of course, but it is supposed to give you a good idea of what it looks like.
Is Tim Burton American or English? He's American,
yeah, he's
right?
American.
He's married to Helena Bonham Carter?
I think they're divorced now.
This looks crazy different. This doesn't look like the same suit he had on last time. Look at his chest hair coming out of the top of that thing.
I know.
I still think that looks pretty bad, mostly because...
It's the S. It's the shape of the stupid S.
It's also a case
so contoured.
Where...
It's shiny.
The muscles are very clearly built into the suit and not the person.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Halloween costume.
But, like,
that like, kind of
works
muscles.
On, like, the Batman, like, the Clooney Batman and stuff.
But he's Batman. He's not as muscular, and you take that as armor to begin with. I feel like, at least I do, I feel like you could design armor to look muscular.
But, I mean, they were showing, like, George Reeves from the Superman TV show, like, the 50s TV show, and, like, he's just, like, a frumpy, like, you can literally see, like, his paunch, like, his gut.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he looks like a 50s professional wrestler. Like, they all have that kind of weird, doughy body, but, like, Killer Kowalski would still rip your throat out.
Yeah, I feel like Christopher Reeves was not a well-defined looking dude either. And
I mean, if they did this like 3 years earlier when he was in Little Junior Shade from Kiss of Death, like that'd be a different Superman. Like you wouldn't even need the, you know what I mean?
Like, well, I feel like he would have bulked up a little more too.
The cape comes from a long line of Kryptonians who were top of their field in science and law, is what Nicolas Cage said.
I love that backstory, that cape.
It's like a lab coat, but just a cape.
It's a lab coat, right.
This shit looks very Mars Attacks-y.
Yeah, the Brainiac stuff. And Borgish, right? Like, Borg
yeah.
Queen? I don't know. It seems like it's been done. I would have liked to have seen a more, like, Earthbound Menace. Lex Luthor doing stuff. But
there's so many Superman villains that just don't work on film. Like, I don't think they're ever going to get a Brainiac to work, right? Like,
they're
going to
try.
Gonna get Mr. McFlickstick, I guess.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he was on... what was he on? Was he on Smallville? He was just a guy.
He's going to be on Supergirl as something.
I could be super into Bizarro in a film.
Well, cause there's...
Bizarro would be cool. I think that they could actually get done.
Oh, I have to give my dad credit that when I was little, he would always get me, like, my primary, aside from, like, my Sega Genesis, my primary, like, toy were all, like, the action figures, and nobody made a Bizarro figure, and I want a Bizarro figure so bad, so what my dad did is he took an actual Superman, and he painted it white and chiseled the face, so it's all, like, broken. It was awesome. Like, it was so, so cool.
Cool dad.
And I was like, where did that come from? He's like, I made it. I was like, what, you what? When I was, like, you know, 10 years old or whatever, I was like, this is amazing. I probably still have
look,
it somewhere.
This is like the Krypton they used. Where it looks like the birthing place where Russell
yeah.
Crowe, right? Where he goes swimming in the beginning. In the Genesis chamber.
Not enough dicks, though.
Oh,
no, really.
Big black dicks that go up into
Man
the
of Steel,
Phantom Zone?
Tons of, yeah, they send the dicks up to fuck the Phantom Zone. There's like 30 of them. It's super phallic.
It's such a bummer we never spent any time on Krypton for it to actually feel like it means anything when it explodes. Like, you know, in the first one we're there, but Krypton is boring. In the second one, Krypton seems exciting, but we're hardly there to get a grasp of what's going on. It's just like, oh, here comes Zod with his ship for some reason, and now we gotta get my son off of the planet. And by the way, he's the first Kryptonian that hasn't been cloned in millennia. It's like, what? None of that matters.
This really looks like very 1950s like Forbidden Planet or This Island Earth kind of stuff. Or like the cover of a Yes album, I guess, as well.
I see this as, yeah. It's
definitely prog rock.
I don't know. Stairs to Nowhere is what it kind of looks like to me.
You know what you should do for now and again? I mean, you've got such a backlog to catch up on, which is great, which is why you're doing it monthly, I think. But, like, if you ever catch up and you do all, like, the... You can do, like, all the Christmas stuff you want, but like, you could just do, like, Suicide Squad soundtrack and just, like...
Oh, man.
All, like, garbage...
The Garden State soundtrack?
Ugh. The Wayne's World soundtrack.
You've never heard The Shins? They'll change your life.
500 Days of Summer soundtrack?
That might be a whole other show, soundtrack
cast. Is that
cast.
The Smiths?
Die by your side.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, yeah, do you like 500 Days of Summer?
I love 500 Days of Summer.
Okay. Wait, have you heard 500 Days of Wheezy?
No.
So someone took the 500 Days of Summer soundtrack and then replaced all of the lyrics with Lil Wayne lyrics. They mashed up. I don't know if I think it was a lot of the Carter 3. It's great.
Huh.
I'll play it for you. I'll give it to you later.
There's a really good mashup. We're getting way off topic here. There's a really good mashup album where someone mashes up hip-hop songs with the Katamari Damacy soundtrack. That is really, really good.
On the topic of mashups, is it, on a scale of, like, 1 to, like, incredibly blasphemous, how blasphemous is it that I heard the Grey album, which is...
The Danger Mouse one?
Yeah, the Danger Mouse Grey album, before I heard the White album or the Black album.
Oh, that's pretty egregious.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
So now I can't hear either of those without right. being like, this doesn't feel right.
Huh. We're getting... I mean, not only are we getting off topic, but this movie, the art and design is getting way off topic. Like,
it's
none
really
of this
weird.
Has anything to do with Superman. I mean, I mentioned Zardoz earlier. I think this is more to do with Zardoz in that movie.
This looks like
Superman.
It's coming out of a Tarsem Singh movie.
Oh, I would imagine him doing a comic book film.
That's kind of what Immortals was, and that okay. wasn't a very good movie.
I haven't seen. But this stuff, this Krypton... I mean, I've had... I'm the one saying I want more Krypton in movies, but I'm done with this production art.
Is The Fall... Is Tarsem Singh's The Fall... Is that a good movie or just really pretty to look at?
No, it's good.
I like The Cell.
Cell's good. I actually liked his Mirror Mirror movie.
He's doing... I forgot that he's the director of Emerald City, that gritty Wizard of Oz reboot that's on TV right now. But
really?
I watched the first few minutes, I was like, nope, I'm good. He did Selfless, which was that Ryan Reynolds movie where
Really? He did that movie?
Which I liked, kind of.
But it didn't have his flair to it at all. Like, it just felt like anyone could have shot that. It felt more like an Alex Proyas film than anything.
This guy just answers the phone.
And the guy leaves it in the movie, though.
Does he say something stupid? I bet he says something stupid.
And now we got a shot of him drinking water? Like, this is bad filmmaking. Look at him just like, yep, I got him on a Hollywood phone call. Yeah, no problem. Insider look, behind the scenes. Like, clearly the guy said, okay, halfway through this interview, make sure someone calls me. I'm going to fake a phone call that look like a big Hollywood big shot in front of this nobody.
Babs, now baby.
Now this nobody thinks that he's awesome because he got this important phone call
on
tape.
And turns to the camera to look at the camera. Like, get out of here, John Peters. Tuck that hair in your chest.
So he wanted this... We're going to see this skull ship thing becomes the codex of Krypton. Like, so it goes like, I want a skull in my movie. And it goes from Brainiac's skull ship design, and then here, this is exactly what the Codex of Krypton looks like. It's this Neanderthal skull with stuff sort of written in the side of it. And it's just one of those examples of, like, being a producer on both projects and wanting to see something on screen and not giving up until you've had
actual
your way.
So it's not even just the fact that Zardoz was in the background, but there's Zardoz on screen now.
I can't see the Zardoz skull without thinking of Rick and Morty now.
Show me what you've got. But, like, that doesn't make any sense to have a big skull ship either. Unless you're Brainiac and you're like, I fucking love skulls and I want to look like a badass. Like, there's no design for, like, a design purposes. Why would you build a spaceship to look like that?
I don't remember this documentary being this exhausting. Like, there's so much happening.
This movie is an extended version of the Key and Peele Gremlins 2 sketch.
I haven't seen that either.
What? Uh-oh. Oh, man. Got to throw that one in the...
Let's throw it
the
on
show
now.
Notes that don't exist on this show.
We'll put it on Now and Again 6 show notes, which will be out months before this comes out.
No, seriously, watch that sketch. It's so good.
I'm excited for Get Out.
Yes. I'm very into that. I still haven't seen Keanu.
It's fine. George Michael scene's great.
Oh, he's in it?
No, there's a scene where they're talking about the song Faith.
Oh, okay.
You know who John Peters is? John Peters is like the full realization of Ellis from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Hans.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Just like that yuppie douchebag.
Yuppie, coke, and all. Like, I mean, I don't know if John Peters is
not a character. Oh, no. Every Hollywood producer from the 80s did coke. It's part of the job, like the prereqs.
I mean, he's even got that Lee Donowitz, you know,
coming
with
a body bag.
Exactly. Just like that, like, hey, you see how fucking cool my shit is? Look at all this cool shit I got. Like, come be part of my cool shit. Just like impressing you with his toys.
Those are, I'm like almost positive those are.
Wait,
Magic
hold on. I'm sorry. This guy's name was just Brom.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear what you were saying because his name is just Brom.
No, I'm pretty sure the art that they were showing, and I don't know if this is true or not. I don't know how much of a nerd I'm outing myself as right here, but I'm almost positive
probably
those were Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh, it's possible. I wouldn't. I mean, they got a lot of high-profile artists just to do concept designs that never got used. You know, like that Brom guy. Like his art, like has nothing. You know. To do with anything else we've seen, like, it doesn't feel like it would have fit into this movie whatsoever. They just wanted like a high profile artist to work on the movie.
Like, there's so much happening here that this is always just like concept art, like in general for whatever, I guess.
But it's also like, we don't know what we want, let's throw everything up on the wall and then see what sticks, you know, and then maybe we'll get an idea of what we like.
Which, yeah, I guess might work early on, but, like, it's hard to tell what parts of the, and especially since we're not really, like, listening, but, like, what we're seeing was at the beginning of the process and what was toward the middle. Because I think, like, a lot of this, if it's at the beginning of what they're figuring out, it's more forgivable. But if it's toward the end, it's just like, well, shouldn't you know, like, what you want by now?
You know what's really bothersome, too, is it's not like Superman doesn't come with a shitload of character designs already. Like, just open a comic.
Yep.
Like, you could see everything he's ever fought in his entire career. Yep. And what that looks like and where he's been and what a ship is. Like, uh-huh. You don't have to go ahead and redesign everything.
Like, there's a whole bunch of egos in one room.
Like, they haven't even gotten to Doomsday yet, but it's like, just use the design for Doomsday from the comic. Why are you trying to make it into something that's, like, all heads or, like, has, you know, eight extra limbs or something, you know? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I love some of these designer guys when they're being interviewed. Like, I feel like the longer the interview goes on, the more they realize how ridiculous what they were doing was, and they're very much, like, they very much have this tone where it's like, it's a living... They realized how absurd it was, and they were just like, yeah, I don't care. We did our stuff. We got paid. And I love the interviews with those guys more than the stuff with, like, producers and Tim Burton.
Yeah, they're clearly they're not used to being on camera as much either. So they just feel a little more honest to me than, like, you know, John Peters is. Like, he totally feels like he's putting on a performance. It's kind of amazing seeing Tim Burton, like, to think that he could actually command the set. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that everybody would listen to me.
I really wonder what he was like. Have you seen interviews of him when he was younger?
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'd love to see him on set of Batman, and it's like, were people told to listen to Tim Burton, or was he actually the kind of guy who could, like, whip the set into shape and be like, everyone shut the fuck up, and, like, we're doing this. Or were there a bunch of producers going, hey, everyone shut up and listen to Tim now? Because he seems kind of meek. Like, I don't know. He doesn't have, like, it doesn't seem like he would come out with the force of you would expect from a director, but...
I don't know if you need to. I think you can just be more of a personal director. Like, I'm sure Wes Anderson is very much, like, yeah, an up close...
That's a good call.
...talking to you on an individual basis kind of thing.
Or Woody.
And what's this guy's credit? He was on the set of Batman? No, I'm sure he's more of a writer and stuff, but I think...
No, isn't he one of the guys who wrote the script? Or one of the scripts?
Okay.
Yeah, I think he
took
is.
A pass.
With his super cool 90s speakers.
Here we go.
Clear 90s speakers.
Ugh.
I genuinely... Like, I think this is a terrible movie, but I love watching this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's super campy. And I think it works on that level, too. Like, it's a good... It's not like it's a... straight up bad movie. Like, it accomplished what it wanted to, and it did it well. It
just, holy rest of metal, Batman.
Alicia Silverstone is just terrible. I'm not even saying in that movie, she's just awful
in general.
I mean, Clueless,
I'm gonna see Clueless, I think, this month.
Perfect.
Still haven't seen Clueless?
For her, and
no.
That's it.
Oh, man.
It's on Netflix.
This is a movie that I feel like clearly would have come in over budget and over time.
Well, they talk about, I have a note here when we watched it the first time. The budget was something like, this is 98, remember. Budget was like 140 million or something,
God.
Or 160 million. 140 million, and then they wanted to like, no, we need 200 million to make it. Like, Avatar cost 240, and they like invented technology to like...
Hey, Dan Gilroy. We have like an actual, like, good screenwriter here now.
I saw him in real life, too.
Competent guy. I like his work.
He's married to Rene Russo.
Oh, is he really?
Good for him.
That's why she's in Nightcrawler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering where she'd been since Nightcrawler. I was like, where's Rene Russo been?
She's got to make another Dan Gilroy movie.
I love Nightcrawler.
Yeah. That was a closing night movie at the first Fantastic Fest I went to.
That's crazy that he did a pass of this movie. But it's not like they asked him to rewrite the whole thing. They just said, come in and make it feel more like...
Oh!
There are actual themes and stuff we're talking about, and so there's other things aside from action.
He's one of the, like, 6 credited writers on Kong Skull Island.
Oh, no kidding.
Good God, 6. I mean, I have no expectations for that movie, but now I have
except that it's
going
to kick ass.
Oh, I don't know. I think that movie's not going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It might not be good, but it's going to be like Independence Day fun, and it'll be better.
Oh no!
Than that,
okay,
it's
sorry,
got
I'm
King
sorry.
Kong in it.
So there were two people who did the original story, which I'm assuming is the 1933 one, maybe that they got credit, and then he came up with the story, him and John Gattens.
Okay.
And then him and two other guys did the screenplay. So okay. There's less hands on it than I thought. If nothing else, it gave us all those pictures of like Brie Larson and everybody on those little goat, like the mopeds or whatever. Wait, riding through like a mall or wherever they
there's
were.
There's a Tumblr of Brie Larson scared faces from the trailer. So it's just like all of the weird faces she makes running away from things in that trailer.
I still haven't
it's
seen
adorable.
That trailer. I don't see
great
trailers.
That trailer
I do trailers
rules.
After I watch the movie, so I'll see the trailer eventually. Maybe.
So what do you do when you go to the movies?
I just look down. I watch a trailer until I know what movie it's for. And then if it's a movie that I'm never going to see, or a movie like The Shack that looks beautifully terrible, I'll watch it.
Here we go, is Clark Kent.
This is vile.
You think that's vile?
No, this is
perfect for the 90s. This is perfect. Like that aqua blue blazer.
He's talking about how he's the alien, right? Oh, the Mickey Mouse tee. Yeah.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse tee.
Because he's just like a big dork.
He would be, right.
Because like, it's the actual, because if you look at like Henry Cavill, like, he is Superman even as Clark Kent. Here, like, this guy's not Superman. This guy's a dork in a Mickey Mouse t-shirt.
Like, these are the guys that, like, he's playing a geek then, which would actually be ridiculed, whereas today, you know, they're heroes and, you know, geeks rule and all that kind of shit. But back in the...
I mean, just like that Beyonce song, Who Runs the World? Geeks.
But, like, pre-Matrix, I feel like if you showed up like that, like, so, you know, Comic-Con was not cool back then. Like, if you showed up looking like you were ready to go to Comic-Con and you were called Clark Kent and you were like a reporter, I feel like that would have worked really well.
This looks like Kramer.
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. It's the height. But there's definitely too many elements in the going on here at once.
Wait, so who is this woman?
I think she's the casting director.
So why is he explaining things to her?
Cause he's a blowhard.
Just saying, like, oh my God,
I love it.
I do too. Oh yeah, so like she's saying, he would have been
like a Mark Zuckerberg.
Or that show with on HBO with
Silicon Valley.
He would have been like a Silicon Valley
guy. Which is weird
like,
because she looks like the woman from Silicon Valley.
Dressed
sort
like
of.
The guys at the science fiction conventions. Yeah, you're spot on.
You could tell Tim Burton is like, let's make this movie tomorrow. Like they want to shoot. He wants to make the Clark Kent movie. He could give a shit about making the Superman movie. Cage looks good in glasses. When was the? Do we ever see him? In glasses that much?
Sunglasses a lot.
Well, yeah, but like that. I don't
glasses,
recall
glasses?
Really
seen glasses in Pay the Ghost?
I blocked everything out about Pay the Ghost, except for that bridge at the end. They have to cross with the spirits.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they waited until the third act to get into the spirit world.
And you've watched some real shit movies with us for podcasts.
Yep.
By choice.
Yep.
And not even intentionally, like, let's watch a bad movie. Like, let's just, this hopefully will be good.
No, I hate myself.
Oh, let's watch Even Cowgirls Get the Blues. I have a friend who says he loves it.
Oh, watch, man. The Watcher.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking most of the time.
I kind of appreciate them whenever they cut to, like, these reenactments, or they do, like, the cartoon reenactment, like this kind of stuff. Like, I actually appreciate that they went there, but I almost want to, this whole thing just to be them recreating.
Yeah,
the recreations. He looks like Tommy Wiseau with
that hair. Yeah, and that he does. That dinner, like, that looked like straight out of the room.
Yeah. You ever see those? Like, they have like comedians doing table reads of scripts.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a script of Death and Return of Super?
No, I feel like we would have heard about it.
There's definitely the one after this they tried to make was the J.J. Abrams one, and that script is online. I've read that.
J.J. Abrams wrote a Superman movie?
Yeah, I think the code name or whatever the name was called, Flyboy or Flyby or something like that. And yeah, after like a few years after this, when J.J. started getting hot, they gave it to him to see if they can get anything going.
Man, well, anyway, I want Tommy Wiseau to be part of my table read for the death of
as Superman?
Superman Lives. Yeah, as he's doing Clark Kent and Superman.
Hi, Lois.
Hi, Lois.
Hey.
Also, J.J. Abrams saved or revived Star Trek, and he did the same thing with Star Wars. Give him DC.
I think he actually came out and said, "I'm done trying to save your franchise."
he had
an article, right? And he's like, no more reboots, no more remakes, none of this. I'm like, I'm only doing new. And I think he even got, like, with Westworld as a producer, that, like, really burned him out a little bit. But I hear you. Like, it would have been a good choice, you know, 10 years ago, maybe, to give it to him. Instead of Bryan Singer, they should have given it to him. To J.J.
Yeah, but what was he doing back then? Chronicle?
No, he was still doing TV back then.
Alias?
I think it was during his Alias Lost phase.
Oh, definitely. Well, he was only... I think at he was least only involved in, like, the first season of Lost.
Yeah, but developing lots of other television projects. I mean, Fringe.
Okay, so as a producer... Well,
Cloverfield was before those, wasn't it?
Cloverfield was 08. So 2006, like, 6 Degrees Lost, right? And What About Brian and Alias.
Lost was definitely on while we were in college.
Lost is 04 to 2010.
Wow, and Cloverfield was 08?
Yeah.
Why did I like J.J. Abrams then? I didn't like Alias. Oh, maybe my timeline is just screwed
Felicity?
Up. Yeah, definitely Felicity. Doesn't Felicity end with time travel?
Mm. Does it really? Oh.
I feel like I heard that somewhere.
I'll have to watch the very beginning and the very end of Felicity.
Is Felicity spoiler?
Oh, who cares? I like Mission Impossible 3. Was that before then?
No, that was... That was sort of what... got him, because then he was doing sequels, and then he started doing the reboots.
Mission Impossible 3 was 2006.
Okay.
Which, even though it's a terrible script, he somehow made a great movie out of that.
Like Mission Impossible 3 is the best one. It's the best one until like 5. Of the first 4, it's the best one. Oh, no, yeah, the first 4.
I like
3, 4,
and 5. I'll go with those. Sorry, Brian.
Wait, so with 4 is Ghost Protocol?
Yeah.
And 5 is Rogue Nation.
Yeah.
I would say it goes 5, 3, I don't know, 2, 4, 1?
2, 4, 1.
No, yeah. I don't know. I don't remember the first two, really.
4 is better than 2.
Yeah, I think 2 is the worst, even Me though too. It's John Woo. It's just,
oh, 2 is John Woo? Yeah, I didn't like that one.
Yeah,
so then maybe 5, 3, 1, 4, 2?
I'll take it. All right. I like 3, 4, and 5 the most.
Yeah, I'd much like Fast and Furious, I think I'd back end it. That just looks like Gotham to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something they did so stupid in the new when Dawn of Justice was to make them, like, right across the bay, I guess. Like, Metropolis and Gotham are sister cities in that movie. You could literally, like, see one from the other. And it's... I just feel like it's never been that.
Where... Okay, so hold on. So
like, why would it be that?
So, in the DC universe... Gotham is essentially New York. Is it like in New York?
Gotham is where... Well, I think it's like South... It's a fictional geography,
location,
but I think it's in like South Jersey, Delaware.
Something about Gotham in New York... Yeah.
Okay.
Either Metropolis or Gotham, and they usually go with New York and Chicago.
That's what I've always imagined. Smallville's in Kansas.
Yes.
So is Metropolis in Kansas?
No. It's supposed to be a sit-in for New York.
Yeah, I've always seen it as a New York-Chicago kind of thing myself.
That's how I always thought of it. I look at maps and they do seem closer to than well, that,
I also
but
understand,
they shouldn't
like, why...
be. Because then why wouldn't Superman just protect both cities? It's not like he can't go punch the Penguin and then go and stop a bank robbery.
Especially if they're across the bay from each other.
Yeah.
Gamera movies are great.
They're the best.
I think almost the entire run was done by Mystery Science Theater as well, and that's a fun little addition. I mean, not the old ones. I know they did a few more modern ones, like around the time when they were doing, like, I think they brought it back around the time when it was like Godzilla versus Biollante, and like around that time I think they kind of brought Gamera back. But those old ones are fun.
I've been meaning to do Gamera Marathon after my Godzilla one. Didn't have time for it last year. Now this, like, see all this Doomsday crap? Like, that one actually looks like this looks like the way he turned out in the new movie.
I don't like it.
But all of it is bad.
I want him, like, with the, like, the big spikes and, like, the...
The bone spikes, yeah.
Yeah. That's Doomsday I know from. That's not the one from the comics. That's the one I have the action figure of.
Plus, he's supposed to be able to... He has intelligence. He doesn't just grunt and throw rocks at Superman like he does in the new movie. Like, he's supposed to be able to talk and do stuff.
So in this, were they going to kill off Superman in the first act? Like, was this going to start with the Doomsday fight?
No. I don't know. That's a good question. Something I never really got a handle on was when exactly he was supposed to die in the movie.
Well, because there's
and
also...
what he was going to do when he came back.
Because this documentary doesn't talk at all about what happens while he's not around.
Yeah, all it does is say during the funeral, Batman gives his eulogy in Times Square or something on the Jumbotron. I think what would have happened is... we would have just watched him regenerate for 30 minutes or something, or it would have been like putting
like
him back together.
Because
I feel like he's back alive by Act 3 going after Brainiac, and that all he'll have to do is blow up his ship. I don't know, because it doesn't also talk about, does he have to fight Doomsday again? Does he throw
terrible.
Him into the sun?
This is awful.
Yeah, it is very Wissowian.
It's not much worse than Dawn of Justice.
No, it is. Dawn of Justice is not bad.
It's bad.
Dawn of Justice is bad.
Nope.
Yes.
Like, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good.
My one thing about Dawn of Justice is, okay, you know at the end when Wonder Woman shows
up... Hold on. Remember they're talking about incorporating the Princess Diana funeral into this movie?
Oh, no, they wanted it to be, like, of that scope.
Oh,
like,
right.
They used a reference of it for Superman.
Which just seems disrespectful.
Well, I think that's actually... I think that's fine imagery, but... I think if there was a good... like a benevolent god that was saving people and he suddenly died, it would be a giant funeral procession.
Yeah. But that seems like too soon. Why not? I mean, couldn't they just go off like
JFK?
Exactly. Or Elvis? Or I don't know. Someone, anybody, that they name check Princess Di is a little strange.
So what are you saying about... I think just because she died like while they were in pre-production. What are you saying about Wonder Woman?
Oh, so in the new movie, when she shows up at the end and, you know, Superman's like, is she with you? And Batman's like, oh, I thought she was with you. Batman really should say, yeah, she's with me because I met her at an art gallery and then I sent her, like, these emails and we know all about metahumans. Like, yes, she's with me. Like, that joke is just another example of they don't even know what they're doing. Like, I don't know. Why couldn't he...
Guys, it's a good movie.
Okay. You're right. It's great.
So we indirectly have Kevin Costner to blame for this movie. Because of the failure of the postman. And then he would come back and be Pa Kent.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he would kill and give life to Superman.
All right, Pa Kent.
Oh, my God.
I really hate the Smallville
stuff.
And now
he ends racism in Hidden Figures.
Oh, did he end it better than Keanu ended it in Hardball?
Hidden Fences, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hidden Figures is the version in the world where Sinbad plays a genie.
Oh, boy. Does Hidden Fences do it better than Hardball, at least?
Are you talking about the real movie or the fake movie? What do you...
the real movie.
Hidden Figures?
Yeah. A little more sensitive than Hardball.
Well, Hardball doesn't end racism. It just sort of gets all the little poor black kids to be friends with each other.
But it makes Keanu feel better for thinking he ended racism.
I mean, there's a scene in Hidden Figures where Michael or Kevin Costner takes a sledgehammer and literally knocks off the wall a thing that says a colored women's bathroom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he wins.
And he's like, you can go to the bathroom wherever you want.
Oh my god, Steel came out before this
Steel's
movie
like
was
95.
Made?
I've never even heard of a lot of these. There's the postman.
Ugh.
Oh man, Spear. Major League didn't perform?
No, back to the minors.
Wow.
That's not the first Major League.
I don't know what that Tarzan movie was.
That was
the
Casper Van Dien one, I think.
Oh, Christ.
I mean, Tarzan, every 10 years they try. I mean, the Tarzan last year was...
bad.
A ridiculous movie. I mean...
Did you see that, Tarzan?
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, Margot Robbie, Christoph Waltz.
It basically starts out and you're like, wait, did I miss the first movie? It's like, no, it's just like, it starts as like the sequel to a movie that didn't exist.
It's a sequel.
And then it becomes the prequel to that movie in the middle of them. It's so dumb and bad.
It's really weird.
Although I'm just looking forward to Margot Robbie playing Tanya Harding. Not, do you see the stills of her as...
Yeah, she...
Like
she's
in a fat
huge.
Suit.
She's
like in a fat suit. Yeah,
but it's a fat suit, right? Because her face doesn't look like she gained weight.
She looks like if Rebel Wilson got jacked.
There's there's no way that Margot Robbie would ever put on like 80 pounds for
a
role.
She would if she was like a serious actress.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what you got to do, Harley Quinn. I'm sorry if you want me to take you seriously.
She is the best part of the Suicide Squad.
Absolutely, I think she's pretty good, and I think Will Smith's pretty good in that.
I don't think so.
I don't know if I... I think my favorite part is actually Jared Leto, whatever
he's doing. There's a movie in there...
No, wait, hold on.
I want the Joker movie. That's all I want.
I want the Joker Harley Quinn movie.
That's all I want is the Joker movie. Mm-hmm. The rest of that crap...
Are you guys going to tell me you liked that Joker?
I'm not saying I liked it. I'm just saying...
I think I could have liked the Joker. I don't like the Joker in that movie, but I think I could have liked...
Yeah, I don't
this
think
looks
fits.
Great.
Yeah, that's a great set of photos.
See, like these look... That looks awesome.
Because it's the tradition... It's all about the S. I'm telling you.
Even that, like, with the muscles. Like, that looks good.
It's amazing what the S does.
And that's amazing.
That does look good.
And that looks really cool.
See, it would have worked. It could have worked. I don't know if it would have worked, but there's a possibility.
But yes, I do like 30 Seconds to Mars Joker. Just because
Die Antwoord Joker?
Just because I mean, I don't like Jared Leto sending used condoms to like his whole like whatever I'm in character now, don't bother me. I'm not
bullshit.
Jared,
his
I'm with Joker.
Vision.
Suicide Squad. I think that the movie that I want to see is 80% him and Harley Quinn with Batman in there, and that's it.
Yeah, like a Batman movie from the Joker's perspective.
Which supposedly they made. They apparently shot. They have all this other stuff with. I mean, maybe this is just him lying about the movie that came out. But he thought there was gonna be a lot more about him, and he's barely in the movie.
It sounds like they shot a lot of alternate takes and extra stuff for those. It doesn't seem like they... I didn't get the sense that they shot like lots of extra scenes, but that they just shot a lot of him in those sequences.
Sounds like at some point they figured out that romanticizing an abusive relationship was not what they wanted to do with that
no.
movie.
Yeah.
But like, what's... So... what was I going to say? It's a weird thing. Getting weird PS4 notifications on my screen right now. I'm losing all track of... These are all things I did last night. I don't know why they're coming up now. Anyway. Okay. The whole thing with Suicide Squad was that... And we talked about this during all his movies, I think, was that they brought Will Smith on. They're like, oh, shit, we got Will Smith now. We got to give, like, 40% of the movie to Deadshot. And that's the only reason, like, that character is developed at all. And, like, he's not good in it. He doesn't care. Like,
I think he's fine.
I feel like he plays Will Smith. He doesn't play like a villain or a character. He's just like, I'm good at shooting shit.
And they wanted to have, because David Ayer, who did Fury with Shia, which is great, he did Suicide Squad as well. He wanted Shia in it, and the studio was like, nah, Shia's too crazy. Like we don't want him in our movie. Like he's harmful to the brand. But for the whole thing with the movie is we're a bunch of crazy people. Like have Shia in it, and Tom Hardy was supposed to be in it, and Tom Hardy got pulled out, and like they lost all this like everything that like was going to be interesting at all became Will Smith, and then also they added in Jai Courtney and all that nonsense.
And I actually feel like that's what would have ended up happening with this Superman movie. I really do feel like it would have ended up feeling really bloated and tonally all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, probably.
And flow poorly, and Burton probably would have lost Final Cut to this crazy producer.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. There's definitely... It could have gone real bad, but I still sort of think that the entertainment value would have prevailed. Like, seeing Cage in a Tim Burton Superman movie would have just been enough draw for me.
Yep.
Like, even if the movie's bad, I probably would have gone two or three more times just for the appeal of the spectacle of it and all that kind of thing. But you're right, like, during the late 90s and a budget this big, there's no way it could have been coherent to any sort of acceptable level. Like, there's just going to be tons of noise in it, but I think it would have been better than worse noise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Tim Burton got $4 million for not making this movie, and Cage was supposed to get 20. He's just like, I'll just take 2 instead.
Really?
He took $2 million to play dress-up. That...
Yeah, but he could have taken $20 million. He's just like, no. And then maybe he should have, because then he wouldn't have been in debt for so many years.
Yeah, but he's kicking himself, saying, oh, could have.
Or maybe he should stop buying pyramids. By the way, happy belated anniversary.
Yeah.
You visiting the Nick Cage Pyramid in New Orleans.
Yep, about a year ago.
Oh, that was like your first appearance on Cage Club. You mentioned you were going to New Orleans.
Yeah, it was right after that. Wiki Wild West.
This is a racist, hateful movie.
Yeah.
Kenneth Branagh.
And, like, oddly transphobic, too, isn't it? Doesn't he love, like, dressing up as a woman? Like, not... He just likes to do it or something? And they make a bunch
Kevin
of jokes about
right?
it.
The Kevin Kline character, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just comfortable this way.
It costs $170. I mean, that's still a lot of money. I saw that in theaters.
Really?
I've never seen it. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it on, like... Hungover on like TBS in college, but I have no
very funny
memory of any of this really.
I've seen most of it. Like, I remember it opens up with Will Smith bathing in like the water tower, which doesn't seem
with the woman.
Yeah, doesn't seem sanitary.
Well, I mean, Zac Efron has sex in a green tower in The Lucky One. No, not The Lucky One. In oh god, what's that movie with Michael Monroe where he's a race car driver in Iowa?
What?
All of this sounds incredible.
Pay something?
The ghost.
It's not Pay the Ghost. That's all I can think of right now, though. I gotta look it up. How Did This Get Made did Wild Wild West a couple years ago, so I rewatched it for that. It's called At Any Price. It's about seeds. Seed farmers.
Hmm.
This is the first time we're really getting too much in the way of Nick Cage's opinions on the failure of the movie.
They barely get his perspective. You know, it's mostly just like that archival footage and then maybe one or two little interview snippets. But I feel like he hasn't really talked about this very much.
I bet he was genuinely upset that this didn't...
I think so, too.
Like, if you notice, through. They have Tim Burton, but they don't have Nick Cage.
Well, because like, Nick Cage also, as a person... is a huge comic book fan, a huge Superman fan, owned Superman 1, like he owned, or Action Comics 1 mm-hmm. or whatever, like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he sold it recently, but
I
like...
I think he had to pay some debts.
But I mean, that was like, you know, multi-million, or at least over $1 million comic book, you know? So like, he...
It just seems like, if you're gonna put this documentary together, and you're gonna go this fucking far, like you got the artist, the producers, the director...
You
like
got
the,
Brom.
The least you could do is scrape up $1 million to get Nick Cage for a day or something. I don't know. I just feel like they're missing him. Like, he is a very important part of this that we're missing.
I'm sure they tried.
I bet he didn't... I just bet he didn't want to do it. I don't think he was unavailable. I just think he didn't want to talk about it.
I mean, if Tim Burton would talk about it, I feel like he would have had, you know, the worst experience out of everybody. I feel like Cage would... reminisce for a little while. Maybe not. Maybe he was going through too much.
If you could ask Nick Cage one question, what would it be?
Oh, man.
Not necessarily about this, just...
Oh, we have questions. Hold on. That's a really good question. I'm going to pull it up. We came up with a couple different questions while we were going through Cage Club. It's not a lot. But just in case we ever meet him...
Was it you who sent me that interview where a guy from Vice interviews Nick Cage using only Nick Cage quotes from movies?
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, that seems like the type of thing I wouldn't expect from Vice, who I thought were supposed to be like actual journalists, and now they're
it's probably
like,
just like a freelancer,
a cracked
but yeah.
type thing.
Oh, I guess the one thing, I mean, of these questions, the thing that I would really want to know the most is that supposedly for Trapped in Paradise, which is that Dana Carvey movie, rumor had it that the director was just like, yeah, I'm done with this, and like either like left or just wouldn't do work, and so what we saw was that Nick Cage actually basically became the director of that movie.
Huh.
And so we wanted to ask about that, like, did that actually happen? Something like that. Also, the last question we wrote down is, just tell us about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, because we don't know about it, you know what I mean?
Oh my god, look at that Halloween costume shit.
This is awful.
I'd like to know, I want him to direct something else. Like, I like what he did with Sonny. I'd like to see him try something a little more ambitious.
We also want to know where, like, how he found Time to Kill and Never on Tuesday and, like, these weirdo things that, like, don't line up with the rest of his filmography. Although Time to Kill makes sense in terms of the timeline because it came right after Vampire's Kiss, right?
Where he was sort of ostracized.
He sort of was like,
bit.
They're like, you can't do
needed
what you
to work,
doing.
Wanted to go and
that's
oversee.
A sudden end to that movie.
Well, then you know. We end with Tim Burton on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Also featuring, is his name in the credits, you think? It's gotta be, right?
From
appearance by Nicolas Cage, archival footage. WonderCon Superman, Anthony, Michael, and Mario.
This was written?
How many times can I... Well, John Schnepp. How many times can I get Schnepp Zone in here?
On the second watch, I don't think it's that great of a documentary.
Oh, no, it's pretty bad.
No, it's not a well-crafted
it's just
documentary at all. It's just the subject
interesting
matter.
Stuff.
I would have rathered, like, an oral history of, like, article. There's a million of those, and I think this would have worked better as that.
It would have worked better as anything without John Schnepp in it.
And I think it would have if they did it more like the kid stays in the picture and they had less live action footage and they did more reenactments and stuff. I don't know why I care about that more, but
like especially when you compare it to something like Yoderowski's
Sig Doom. Neutron. It's kind of a dope name if that's a person.
When you compare it to what now?
Yoderowski's Dune.
Oh yeah.
Nicolas Cage like bust that photography by David Irwin. Let's interview David Irwin.
Busting makes me feel good.
Man, this is some thrilling closing credit music, too. It's just a loop.
Well, thank you for listening to this. Barely talked about it. We've only recorded this. The second one we recorded, and, like, we just picked two ones to start out with. Like, Nicolas Cage is barely in either of them. So that's... We're some interesting decisions by us.
What is it? Nikki Coppola. Look at that. It almost says Coppola.
Almost.
Yeah, this kind of flew by, too. It goes a lot quicker.
This has to be, like,
Kickstarter backers,
right?
Oh,
there you go,
yeah.
Kickstarter backers. Oh my god.
I didn't fund this, did I? No.
I didn't, no. Although I did contribute Kickstarter to the new Adam Rifkin movie, Director's Cut, which should be coming out soon because Adam Rifkin.
It's on my list of movies to see.
A lot of Chris's. I'm
Doug,
one of them.
Carney Ball.
There's all the Michaels.
Miguel Ponce de Leon Jr.
I wonder if these guys feel like it was worth it. I would be a little disappointed.
So many jeans. Look at all those. Jeez. My hopes and dreams for these Cage Club commentaries that we're going to find like a after the credit sequence.
What's this now? And fan backers? This looks like the Marvel credits of special effects credits, like filling the whole screen.
Is this hurting your eyes? This is hurting my eyes.
Yeah, this doesn't feel great.
Yeah. It's not meant to have that many names on screen at once. How many different GoFundMes did he use?
Now you know why he couldn't scrape together $1 million to get Nicolas Cage because we had Gretchen Drake give him like $5.
Jack Meads and his $250.
But I want to find one Cage movie with like an after the credits scene that we didn't know existed. That would be great. I don't think it's going to happen.
Is there any after credit sequences ever?
Yeah. Doesn't Pay the Ghost have a mid-credit sequence?
If it did,
or is that
wait.
Just the very end of the movie where the person comes back to life?
It blocked it out.
You're gonna have to wait and see.
You have to come back and watch that again with us, Chris.
No.
Yep. We'll bring the Cage Club Revisited to you, Mr. Mom asks Batman? Question mark. Oh, super thanks. Ugh. There's super thanks, then a thank you line, and then special thanks.
They're really milking it here. Wait, Kevin Smith only gets a special thanks? He doesn't get an actual credit?
Maybe it's a different Kevin Smith. Rainy.
Love those one-name names.
Lots of sweaty comic conventions. Special super thanks. Whoa. Jeez. Oh my god. I hate these credits more than I hate the movie. Hey, we all rock.
We all rock.
Wait, so he just calls all these people sweaties? Like his fans are sweaties?
He loves
Maybe because
sweat.
The dude looked like he never stopped sweating in his life.
Oh, God. Well, go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub for all the things we've done, all the other commentaries. Ooh!
Wow, that's crazy. There was an after-credit scene. We were just talking about them.
And he was asking a question about Cage, and then Tim Burton didn't even answer it, so whatever. Yeah. All right, cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub. Thanks for listening. Bye.